Congratulations to Paul Swan, host of The Drive, for capturing the prestigious 2024 West Virginia Broadcasters Association Excellence in Broadcasting Award for Best Talk Show. Tune in to Paul during your drive home weekdays at 5:06 p.m. on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930. ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930 present The Drive. Brought to you by Huntington Federal Savings Bank. Local then, local now. Member FDIC.
It is Friday, March 26th. Your drive begins now on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930. I'm your host, Paul Swan. You can join this program, this very program, by calling the White Claw phone lines at 877-420-TALK. That is 877-420-8255. White Claw Hard Seltzer, it is made pure. We've got a lot happening this weekend for the Thundering Herd. So we had two options. I could talk about it, and I'm going to, and that's still on the table. Or I could get the guys, got to hustle all over. I'm serious, all over the place to get these broadcasts on. And that is Jake Griffith. He is going to join us here on the program to talk about what's happening this weekend because, of course, we have got baseball action. We have got tennis. We've got softball. We've got men's soccer. We have more baseball. We have more softball. And a lot of these are going to be broadcast. A lot of these are going to be on herdzone.com. You can go to the website and there's a link for you to click on and you can broadcast these to your devices, whatever. Just watch the game like you normally would. It's going to be on CUSA TV for the majority of these games. And so if you can't get out to see a game, you can, of course, watch on CUSA TV. Jake's going to tell us about all the broadcasts. And of course, we'll get into some of the details, how this is possible because, yeah, after all, I mean, there are multiple broadcasts on Saturday alone. If you go to herdzone.com, you look at the website, there are broadcast links for softball and soccer and baseball. So you have a broadcast link for all of these, four events, three sports. Don't tell me Marshall doesn't get it done. Thundering Herd gets it done, and Jake is a big part of that, so we'll talk to him here in the next few minutes. As I mentioned, your phone calls are welcome at 304-399-8255, toll-free, 877-420-8255. Soccer for the women yesterday did not go the way that Coach Swan intended. Nick Verzolini with me as well. And Nick, not the way the ladies would have liked to have finished out senior day. And what did Coach have to say about everything after the loss yesterday? Set these up for us.
He was happy with the team's effort. He knew they were going in against a tough ODU team. So that was really the first thing he talked about, and obviously was proud of his seniors.
I thought our players absolutely battled as hard as they could, come up against a very good ODU team who's got a great coach and staff, a group of experienced players who've been in these situations before when it's all on the line. And, I can't fault what we did with what we've got in limited numbers. But, we've got to take our chances when we get those opportunities, especially in the second half to get back into the game as well.
So he's pretty complimentary of his squad. He's not down anything because he knows, I think, in the back of his mind, I got to go out and I got to sell this program. I got to go out and bring some depth and some talent into this program because the men have proven you've got the facilities now. You got everything in place to have a contender, a top 25 program, and that's what Marshall is right now. Despite the loss against West Virginia, that's an upcoming program as well. So, no loss there. No shame there, really, to lose to them. You don't want to, but still, that wasn't as if a program that really doesn't put anything into it beat the Herd. I mean, that's a pretty good program there. And for Marshall doesn't want to be that program where it's an easy win. And that's kind of what I'm getting from coaches. Yeah, I like what we did, but we're kind of shorthanded. I mean, that's pretty much the polite way of saying it. I don't have enough out here to win a game. Fair?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Marshall also will have a pretty quick turnaround because this weekend they're playing West Virginia State, and then just in general they'll have a fall season as well. So I think they can take what they do in the spring here and just get better. And some of his team might not return with the seniors, so he wanted to say some things about them because it was their senior day yesterday.
I cannot fault the effort. Seniors were fantastic today. You know, they've led us. They've persevered. They've made it to this, you know, the final few games of their career. And I'm just hoping that we can get a couple of wins towards the end of the season and do them proud. They've been great. You know, a year ago, we're looking at it and we're thinking we're excited about what's happening in the fall and pandemic hits. And they just go with the flow. They went through the flow. The coaching change a year ago. And, you know, I can't thank them enough for But what they did, things were a bit tricky last spring with COVID coming in and, you know, heading home and keeping the group united. And then obviously at the start of this semester was, you know, I had a bit of a rough go of it myself in my personal life, and the character of all our seniors, how they just rallied around me and, you know, kept me moving forward in probably the toughest situation I've ever had in my life. So I can't thank Metzley, I can't thank Abby, Kane and Laura enough for what they've done. So they've been great. I thought our players absolutely battled as hard as they could.
To Coach, really appreciative of the seniors. He's still trying to put this thing together. This is his first run really at this. And you come in, you're excited to be the new head coach. You got a lot of things you want to do. You want to put together a program. You want to try to start building. And then COVID happens. And it does it to everyone. It knocks everyone back. Some universities, some colleges, some teams were better equipped, and you're still trying to put together your squad. I mean, it's not like football where you have a situation where you've been through this for about a year now, and then you bring in a new football coach and things are opening back up and he's moving forward. He's changing the way he wants to do things. I don't think this is really a fair season for Coach, because you were behind already and you're trying to put this thing together and you don't have the depth and you don't have what you need initially. I'm excited for the future of women's soccer, but right now it's tough on him, and I get it completely.
Yeah, I think in the fall we'll have a better idea of what Coach Swan's program is going to be about.
All right, we're going to turn our attention to what's happening this weekend. Lots of activity for the Thundering Herd. And if you can't get out to, say, a baseball game, you can't get out to one of the soccer matches, you can't see softball, you can't see any of that, you can't just get out and do it, but you've got a way to watch it all, and that's because of what Marshall does. Marshall is one of the, I think, the few universities that really puts together multiple broadcasts on a given day, at least for a university of Marshall's level. Power Five schools maybe not necessarily doing this stuff. And so Jake's going to join us. Jake Griffith. His bio reads, have you ever read his bio? A young, up-and-coming sports broadcaster. He's young. He is young. We'll talk to Jake, and I'll maybe embarrass him just a little bit when we continue with today's edition of The Drive on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930.
This is The Drive with Paul Swan on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930. Presented by Huntington Federal Savings Bank.
We'll take your phone calls later on this hour, courtesy of White Claw at 877-420-TALK, 877-420-8255. But we're using the White Claw phone lines right now because we want to welcome to the program. And again, Nick, this is what his bio says. It says that Jake Griffith is a young and up-and-coming sports broadcaster. You know, I don't know if he's up and coming. I think he's here. He's also the director of multimedia for Marshall University Athletics, and he is with us now on the program. We got to update your bio, man. I don't think you're up and coming. I think you've arrived, dude.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I will say is a couple years ago they came to us and said we had to have bios on the website. You know me, Paul. I'm more of an inconspicuous guy. I try to fly under the radar, so I haven't touched that thing in a couple months, so you're probably right. I need to tweak that a little bit.
Just a little bit, man. You've arrived, man. You're not up and coming. You're here. You are here. You're up and coming means like, you know, he's on the rise. I mean, you're everywhere. I turn around and there you are. I don't know how you're going to do all these games and these matches. Saturday's a big slate. of action here for the Thundering Herd, but I just want to talk to you first about the fact that, you know, I don't know of too many places that can pull off multiple broadcasts like this at maybe, I don't want to say Power 5, G5, I don't want to say all that, but for an institution like Marshall University, so many of the sporting events that go on, you know, Marshall's able to really get that video out there, get that play-by-play out there for fans who can't come, and I don't know too many places that can pull that off.
Well, you know, and the one thing I will say is it starts with Chuck McGill and Ryan Vance. You know, Chuck oversees, he's sort of the external and fan engagement guy, and, you know, people may not know what that is, but the external sort of encompasses what I do and what Herd Vision is, so Chuck sort of oversees that. And then Ryan Vance, who he is, I swear by Ryan Vance being the smartest human being on the face of the earth. He and Eric Himes, they work over in the university side, but they were sort of the brain trust that helped get Herd Vision off the ground way back when, a couple years ago when I got brought on. And we also have two student assistants, Nick Capria and Alexandra Warrington. And I'll tell you what, I mean, without those four, I wouldn't be here because they do a lot of the heavy lifting. They make me look good. I just kind of get to do the easy part and talk about the sports. But, you know, we'll have a softball doubleheader this weekend. Softball has a 3-game series with Bellarmine, and we'll be able to stream that, a 1-camera stream. And then we're going to pull off a full production at soccer tomorrow on ESPN+. And then we'll have women's soccer on CUSA-TV on Sunday at 5. And so without those four people, I mean, I don't think they're as much – they get all the credit. I mean, I know people sort of come to me and say, hey, good job. Well, give them the credit, man. They work hard. Alex and Nick, when I left Herd Vision Control about 20 minutes ago to go grab a coffee, I mean, they had been spending the entire day down there getting graphics ready, on the phone with Ryan, who was working remotely, making sure the I's were dotted, the T's were crossed. And so big ups to them. They work really hard, and they are in a lot of places at one time. And, you know, big shout out to them.
So how much do you work with the other institutions? I'm kind of curious because I know baseball is at Florida Atlantic, so you've got the link up there. People can watch. But, you know, how much cooperation between Conference USA schools to make sure that everybody can pull off their broadcasts?
Well, you know, one of the functions of me being the director of multimedia is we have a thing called Box, and it's like Dropbox, but it's through Conference USA. And the average sports fan may not be familiar with this term, but we do these things called broadcast melts, where we cut essentially highlights for both teams. It's a specific, it's a team-centric highlight reel. And one of the functions of my job as the director of multimedia is the Marshall portion of Box. We have individual folders for all the sports, and I make sure to get the highlight reels for both teams uploaded, even if it's a non-conference game. And so that sort of facilitates and helps other schools get their stuff off the ground because they can say, whether or not they use those highlights in a broadcast, their play-by-play guy now can watch back in a condensed version of Marshall, say, for example, Marshall baseball, their last game, and they can say, okay, here's how Marshall baseball beat WVU. So they don't have to read a box score. You know, reading obviously is an important element of what you and I do as journalists, Paul, but it also helps to sort of have that visual accompaniment. So that's one of the ways. And then I try to do things when I reach out to other schools, you know, hey, is there anything you need from me? Whether it's, you know, sometimes I know, for example, there's the student play-by-play broadcaster for baseball, Jackson Kaplan at Charlotte. He's reached out to me before and we've shared notes and things like that. And that's the one thing I try to leave my DMs open on Twitter so anybody can hit me up. You know, for example, the West Virginia student radio broadcast for the soccer match the other night, he did a fantastic job. I'll probably reach out to him and get some tips on calling soccer from him. And so, you know, it's sort of a give and take there between broadcasters and other departments. We try to share as much as we can at the end of the day to help the other because it makes their broadcast look good, it makes ours look good, and it makes the league look good.
Well, we've talked briefly about that slate. Are you calling all these matches tomorrow? Are you on all the calls here?
Well, I'll give another shout-out. Shout-out to softball aficionado Scott Hall.
Okay.
He will be calling the softball series this weekend. I will be at soccer You mentioned the big match for the Herd back into league play now on Saturday afternoon against a good Old Dominion team. And then Marshall will take a break from conference play. They'll play West Virginia Tech on Sunday. Will the Marshall women looking to rebound off that loss to Old Dominion earlier this week? So I'll be over at soccer. Scott will be handling softball, but I'll be jumping back into some softball in the next coming weeks. We've got some big softball games coming up for the Herd. They've got the Western Kentucky series this time next week. That could very well determine who wins the East Division. Those two teams picked 1 and 2, Western 1, Marshall 2 in the preseason East poll.
How important have you found it? You probably see all the stuff on the back end, the metrics and everything. How important over these last few weeks and months have your efforts been? Because we're still in that holding position. We're opening things up slowly. We're doing it smart. We're trying to get fans back as much as possible. But at the same time, you still can't have a full house. So how much or how important has this been to everything in the athletic department? Because you're putting these things out there. You want to make sure people are seeing them. How many people are seeing them? What's the feedback like?
Well, the feedback has been good. You know, I a lot of times I'll have fans from other fan bases, fans from the Marshall fan base reach out. As far as specific streaming numbers, Conference USA distributes those quarterly, so we've sort of yet to see those numbers for this quarter, but all indications from the league office have been very positive in what we do. You know, a little humble brag here on behalf of Marshall. I know Conference USA, you know, Commissioner McLeod and Jordan Foreman, the director of multimedia for Conference USA, they like to use us as sort of a little bit of a brag, you know, hey, Marshall does such a good job. And a lot of that is the dedication of the students and Chuck McGill. And a big shout out to Mike Hammer, the director of athletics. You know, he really believed in, this is going to sound cliche, but the vision of Herd Vision. You know, and it's really, you see in a pandemic year, having a broadcast arm as part of your department, it really comes into big play because we're able to, like we saw with basketball this year, limited capacity fans. Like we've seen with all sports, limited capacity fans. So we're able to do something that really keeps the fans engaged and involved, and it makes them feel like they're still there. And as the year has gone on, we've been able to up our broadcast production. You know, the one thing about Herd Vision is, and I always am quick to remind people, we are reliant on students to crew these broadcasts. You know, we do give students the opportunity. They work and they do get paid hourly to crew these broadcasts, but we have to have students to do it. So, you know, in the beginning of the year with basketball, we had 1 or 2 cameras because that was just the student availability. But as the year started to go on, you saw we pulled off ESPN Plus broadcasts for women's basketball and men's basketball, and now soccer and softball, and, you know, all eyes on volleyball in the fall. We hope to do some more stuff with volleyball in that regard. And so I think it has been important that we've been able to do this to the best of our ability, because whether it's a one camera or whether it's a full production, it's giving the fans that enjoyment, sort of helps take their mind off of the goings on of the world. And at the end of the day, that's what sports is. Sports, as you and I both know, it's sort of escapism for people. Maybe not for us because we work in it, but for the average fan, you know, they watch sports to forget about what's going on around the world. And so if we can kind of give them that insight, allow them to see the game that they're not able to attend, I think it helps everybody in the long run.
How's Chuck McGill's camera work? Because I talked to him recently, and we brag on that guy because he deserves it, but he's the type of person who's hands-on. Yeah, he's worked some cameras. He's done a lot to know everything possible about what's going on, and I'm kind of curious, how good's his camera work?
Hey, you know, listen, I'd love to have Chuck in on doing full-time stuff with Herd Vision. I joke with him all the time, but he actually, we've had spots arise where, you know, like you mentioned, we have this sort of confluence of, I think, about 8 sports going on at once. And we're, you know, at times we can be pulled thin. And so Chuck, you know, he's not the kind of guy that sort of delegates response. He's very hands-on, like you said. So he'll come down on the control room and he'll say, I think Ryan Vance a couple weeks ago taught him how to run the three-play machine so we could have replay for one of our broadcasts. And so, you know, hey, he's fantastic, man. We really, at the end of the day, everybody that works with us is awesome. I cannot brag enough about our crew and the people that oversee it. I mean, they really do. They're dedicated. They do a good job. They come in on days. The students, the full-time employees, what have you, they come in on off days. and when most people would not even think to come in and do stuff, they're in there, you know, tweaking something, cleaning up a graphic, making it look good. Because at the end of the day, it's about putting out a good product, but also for the fan enjoyment, as I just mentioned.
Jake Griffith joins us. He is the director of multimedia for Marshall University Athletics. All right, let's get down to broadcaster arts and crafts. How much work have you put into this soccer match? How many trees died in effort here to make this work for you? Because I've seen your note stats, and I'm sitting here going, oh, no, Jake's just printing that stuff off from somebody, and I'm looking at it, no, wait a minute. No, I don't think he is. So how many hours are you putting into all that?
Well, you know, and that's people always ask me that a lot when they see my tweets and things. And you know, I tweet those things because I'm a big fan of pulling the curtain back. I use that phrase a lot. I like to show people behind the scenes of, you know, this isn't just a thing where you just show up, sit down, and just start talking. This is a hard working job. I mean, it takes, and I do a lot of that prep when I'm not in the office, when I'm at home and when what would be my off time, because when I'm in the office, I'm interviewing coaches or cutting video or this, that, and the other. And so I sort of reserve the prep for my own personal time. But I'll tell you what, I mean, men's soccer I always think of the soccers and baseball and softball as sort of like a different beat, because there's so much that goes into it prep wise. There's so many numbers that float around. But you also have a lot of downtime to talk about those things. You know, you have time in between pitches for baseball and softball. Men's and women's soccer, it's just a constant flow. You know, they're passing back and forth on the pitch. But where the goal numbers, the scoring is low in a sport like soccer, you do have a lot of time. So you need to be able to have stuff on the fly to fill. And I probably am a little crazy about it. I probably only touch a third of the stuff that you see on those printouts, but it's better safe than sorry. You know, I'd rather be overprepared than underprepared. Hey, and I always tell you, as a play-by-play broadcaster, fall in love with the preparation. And I have. I mean, I really feel like that's my favorite part of broadcasting, other than just doing it, is the preparing for it.
Oh, no, I love your baseball notes. I'm sitting there going, first I saw those, I actually thought those were conference releases, and I was getting mad I wasn't on that list, and then I started looking at them some more. I'm like, no, Jake put this together. This is all Jake's handiwork.
You know, I do love the environment. Nature is my other mother, but I'd probably go through a lot of trees, and I do feel bad about that. But there's something in this digital age where people like to have the laptop and the phone and the iPad. I still feel like there's something about having those hard copies and a little bit of handwriting on there, too. It's just a little lost art, almost.
Jake joining us on the – you see, we just call him Jake now. You don't even need to know who he is. You know who he is. Jake Griffith, the director of multimedia for Marshall University Athletics. So let's outline again for everyone, just so they have it clear, what's happening tomorrow, when and where, because Saturday is going to be a huge day for Marshall Athletics. Some of these events, of course, are not conducive to television coverage. I can't wait for you to call your first golf invitational, but until you get to that point, we've got softball, baseball, soccer, women's tennis at 11 a.m., not televised, but there is a multitude of things people can watch tomorrow.
Yeah, so women's tennis will take on Liberty at 11 a.m. As you mentioned, that one not televised, but the televised events will kick off at noon right on the dot over at Dot Hicks Field. No pun intended. Bellarmine will play Marshall in softball. Scott Hall will have the call for that doubleheader. It'll be a noon and 2 p.m. doubleheader for the Herd against Bellarmine. Scott will have both those on CUSA TV. And then Old Dominion visits Hoops Family Field. The Monarchs 1-1-2 this year. 24th-year head coach Alan Dawson sort of has them back after a down year last year. They missed the conference tournament. That one will be on ESPN Plus. You can also listen to all those events that I just named off on WMUL as well, the student radio station. And then Sunday, women's tennis will be in action at 11 a.m. against West Virginia State. Shout out to my dad, Ed, because that's his alma mater. And then softball will play at noon against Bellarmine. That will be on CUSA TV. And we'll have women's soccer that night at 5 p.m. on CUSA TV, and I'll have the call for that. Those two soccer matches, huge. I can't speak highly enough about first-year women's soccer head coach Michael Swan. He's really come in, and he's really sort of reinvigorated the program, started to change the culture a little bit. You know, he knows the sport, comes from a very good Charlotte program inside of Conference USA. And that's a team to watch out for. You know, you everybody likes to talk about, oh, look at the job that Coach Grassi's done. He's done a fantastic job. If you want to look for an up-and-coming program that you might see similar success in, like what Grassi's had with men's soccer, I'm telling you, red ink, circle the Marshall women's soccer program. They are on the up and up.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I hate for him is the thing I hate for everybody with the pandemic that probably slowed his progress down a little bit. I can't wait to see what it looks like the following year and the following year. I'm sure he'd like it to be better now, but – you know, that's a program right. that that's a young and up and coming program, Jake, to use that phrase.
That is.
Jake Griffith joins us.
I got a chance to. Oh, go ahead, Paul.
No, go ahead. I was just going to reintroduce who you are and how fantastic you are. Jake Griffith, the director of multimedia for Marshall University Athletics.
I was going to say, I had a chance to watch him against Old Dominion. I had the call for that match on CUSA TV last night, on Thursday night. And, you know, they did fall 3-0, but they have something really special in net with the sophomore, Courtney McVicker. I mean, she has stood on her head time and time again. And that Old Dominion team, they're led by Angie Hinn, their head coach in her ninth season, and they're a veteran team. Casey Perry in net for the Monarchs didn't really do much work. Just made a couple of saves, but, you know, she leads the nation or lead Conference USA in clean sheets this year. 48th in the nation coming into that match. And so, you know, you look at the scoreline 3-0, and people may look at that and scratch their head, but that's a very good Old Dominion team. And it's important to remember that Conference USA women's soccer, you have the likes of North Texas, the Florida Atlantics, who I had a chance to see earlier this year as well. Old Dominion, and that's a very – Charlotte. It's a very strong women's soccer conference. It's really top-heavy in the East Division. Of course, they've gone to the divisional format for – what everybody, I think, expects to just be this year because of the pandemic. But you never know. That could continue on.
You said nil, which I told our intern / producer, Nick Versalini, that is the correct way to say it. Do not listen to me when I say 3-0. 3-0. Don't listen to me. Listen to you.
Well, you know, the one thing I will say, and I credit my dad, and Coach Grassi and I, we talk a lot about this too. He likes to rib me because he's a Newcastle guy. I'm a Crystal Palace guy. But, you know, my dad was always a big soccer fan growing up, and that kind of rubbed off on me a little bit. So I do take a special interest in – I love all sports. I love basketball. My great-grandfather actually got a full-ride scholarship to play basketball at Alderson Broaddus, fun fact, before World War II broke out. But so I love basketball, but – you know, I've always taken a really special interest in soccer. I didn't play it really much when I played hockey back home in St. Louis, but soccer, I find it so fascinating, so fun. It's almost like a chess match, but it's played out on a giant field with life-sized human beings.
Jake Griffiths joining us. Again, you'll have to – I'm going to get you to have the Jake list of soccer terms. I was trying to teach young Nick here yesterday soccer terms. And I disagree with the usage of fixture. I'm not a big fan of fixtures.
Like, I tweeted fixture one time. And of course, league standings become league table when it comes to soccer.
See,
you know, it's the little things like that.
See, that's where we have a problem sometimes. I think there needs to be an official herd zoned terminology sheet just to help the new fan out just a little bit, because I mean, a credit to what Marshall's been able to do, both on the men's and women's side. Here's a sport that people are upset when they can't get to a match or can't watch it for whatever reason or can't be a part of it. A few years ago, it was probably hard to attract fans to most of these Olympic sports. And now, just the way that everything's grown and a testament to the athletic department, the coaches and everything – softball has a passionate bunch of fans. Tennis has a passionate group of fans. Soccer, definitely a passionate bunch of fans. Women's basketball, very passionate, and the list goes on and on. And, you know, I love where we're at now, where it doesn't matter what the sport is. If it says Marshall, there's a group of fans that are passionate and behind it.
Well, and I think that, you know, when people think of Marshall, I don't think they realize how passionate the fan base is. And it's not just, like you mentioned, a laundry list of sports. It's not just your typical football and basketball. I mean, they get into everything. I mean, if I'll never forget, you know, after we got back from Norfolk from that Conference USA Men's Soccer Tournament, you know, I'd gone out there, called it. We came back, and there was the selection show on that Monday. Remember, the Fat Patty's party room was packed. And I thought to myself, I was like, this is not really thought of as a soccer stronghold area. You know, you look at the hotbeds and St. Louis, the Illinois area, they have strong soccer ties, you know, maybe out west. But you look in this portion of the country, it's not really viewed as a place that soccer is hugely popular. And yet there were the Marshall fans clapping, cheering, starting chants inside of Fat Patty's at noon. I'm pretty sure the selection show was at 12:30 that day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. And, you know, you look at volleyball, what Coach Ari Agnes and her staff have done to reinvigorate that volleyball program as well. They're going to go back to the Conference USA Tournament for the second consecutive year. They have a passionate fan base. Coach Kemper and the outreach programs they do with, like, the locker room club and stuff like that with women's basketball. I mean, it's Marshall's got some diehard fans. And my mom is a proud Marshall alum, graduated in class of 2001. And she had kind of, when I made the decision to come out here to finish up my college, do my last three semesters, she had kind of apprised me of that and was like, you know, Marshall's got some pretty diehard fans. But, like, I had no idea, and you really don't until you live it and you experience it. It's the university has such strong, close ties with this community.
Joining us to talk Herd sports anytime we need him, Jake Griffith, the director of multimedia for Marshall University Athletics. Okay, before I let you go, I'm putting you on the spot. So if the phone hangs up all of a sudden, I know why. Which one needs more decaf? Coach Huff, Coach Agnes.
Can I give you a third option and say me?
Okay, you need the decaf. All right, fair. That's an actual good way to get out of that question. That's very good. Well done, sir. Well done.
I drink too much coffee as it is. Don't tell my mom.
I won't tell her. I won't tell her at all. But yeah, I was wondering there who wins the Spirit Award every year, Coach Agnes or Coach Huff? Now I don't know.
You know, the one thing I will say about Coach Huff, he loves those Red Bulls, those sugar-free Red Bulls.
He does.
I got a couple people in my life that they love Red Bull as well. So I don't know, but, you know, I get to see Coach Agnes on a more consistent basis in my office. It's like two doors down from her. And so I don't know. That's a close one. That might have to be, like, battled out in a Twitter poll. I don't know.
I like it. We might have to do that. We can do that. You can't. We can do that here. You you can wash your hands of this at any time. Jake joining us on the program. Jake, see, he's just one name, Jake. Jake Griffith, the director of multimedia for Marshall University Athletics. Have fun this weekend. I know you will. We'll all be watching and tuning in to Herd Zone.
Hey, thank you for having me, Paul. You know, call me anytime. I'm glad to come on the show.
Jake Griffith, everybody, a young and upcoming sports broadcaster, just like yourself, Nick Verzellini. We will come back and continue on with today's edition, The Drive, on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930.
You're listening to The Drive with Paul Swan on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Presented by Huntington Federal Savings Bank. Welcome back, Paul Swan, your host for this Friday, March 26th. Baseball, end of two. FAU has scored a lot of runs. Herd trailing 5-0 now, the end of two. So Marshall baseball trailing, and that one, we'll keep an eye on it. And, of course, you can go to herdzone.com, keep an eye on it there as well. And as we talked about earlier, if you weren't with us, there is a video link there. You can watch that matchup and plenty of action for you coming up tomorrow, both from the men's side and women's side of Herd Athletics, including the softball team, the baseball team, men's soccer trying to bounce back, trying to at least maintain a good ranking in the top 25. If I'm men's soccer right now, I'm taking it all out on Old Dominion. I'm just taking it out on them. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but I'm putting it all out there. I'm going to do everything possible to run that score up if I'm Marshall soccer, just to prove that, okay, we had a slight malfunction at the end of the day against West Virginia. Let's go back out there and work over Old Dominion and sort of make a statement, point out to them that, okay, you've seen us get beat, but you're not going to be the architect of the next one. That's what I would do against old. I would come up with something. I would find a way. I would put a chip on my shoulder. And I would do that anyway. It's not a West Virginia thing. It's just you lost your eighth-ranked team in the country. You go in somewhere. You lose. I'm taking it out on somebody. I'm Michael Jordan in this thing all the way. I am completely going to fabricate stuff. I make stuff up about you all the time, Nick, just so I can get mad and get through this broadcast. I don't know if you knew that. Sorry.
We went over this earlier.
Yeah, we did. I just want to point that out, just in case you didn't remember. I make stuff up about you so I can get mad and do this show. Man, Jordan would make stuff up. I mean, really, just make it up. Like, yeah, the guy was talking stuff about me. What? How dare this nobody who no one's ever heard of before talk about you, Michael? How dare this guy? Why? What is he thinking, Michael? Because he's not. Just Michael doing what Michael does to get himself fired up. I don't think I really have a pre-show ritual. And maybe I need one, a pre-show ritual to get ready for this. I mean, maybe we need some hype music. Like 6 minutes out, we have like some music playing in, some fanfare. I don't know what we need to do, but it's a Friday. We're having fun. Thanks for joining us. We will wrap it up when we come back from our final commercial obligation here. We got to pay the bills, folks, and I appreciate you all sticking with us here on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930.
This is The Drive with Paul Swan on ESPN 94.1 FM and AM 930, presented by Huntington Federal Savings Bank.
March Madness starting back up this weekend. We'll have the action here on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930 and on CAT Sports 93.3 and 1340. Busy day begins at 2 o'clock on Saturday as Oregon State, the 12 seed, will face off against the 8 seed Loyola Chicago, and that's set for a 2:40 tip. Our coverage begins at 2 o'clock, and then game number 2 on Saturday will feature the 5 seed Villanova facing off against the number 1 seed Baylor, and that is set for approximately 5:15 p.m. And then game number 3 on the Saturday quadruple header, number 15 seed Oral Roberts facing off against number 3 seed Arkansas. And then final game of the night, 9:55 is going to be the anticipated airtime. Number 11 Syracuse faces off against number 2 Houston. So that's our broadcast schedule for Saturday. For Sunday, schedule begins at 2 o'clock. And game number 1 features number 5 seed Creighton versus number 1 seed and my pick to win the national championship Gonzaga at 2:10 p.m. And then game number 2 will feature number 4 seed Florida State versus number 1 seed Michigan. And then game number 3, and that's about 7:15 p.m. that evening, number 11 seed UCLA will face off against number 2 seed Alabama. And then we wrap up the night on Sunday. The 11 seed is UCLA. That should be a fun game, but really the game I think is going to be the most fun. Number 7 seed Oregon facing off against the 6 seed USC. That should be fun. I think that'll be a good one, actually. Two evenly matched teams going at it, and that's at 9:45. So that's what our Sweet 16 schedule looks like. We don't have matchups yet for the Elite Eight, but I can tell you this. 7 o'clock on Monday, 7 o'clock on Tuesday for the Elite Eight, and that will set your Final Four. I need Houston to get to the Final Four. They can lose after that. Actually, it would be preferred if they lose after that. I need Houston to get to the Final Four. Actually, I've got Baylor going to the championship game, but if Baylor loses early, that eliminates a lot of people from the bracket for me. That just puts them out of my way, to my charge to the top. I mean, I'll lose some points too, but a lot of other people will lose points, and they're champion, because right now in our office pool, it's basically the people who picked Gonzaga or the people who picked Baylor, with that one person that picked Michigan, and they're sitting there going, yeah, you guys don't realize this, but I've got the winning bracket here. And it's always that person that doesn't follow college basketball. It's always that person. And we've got a couple of those in our bracket that are really, they could look like savants. They could look like they knew what they were doing all along here. Nobody's bracket went unscathed, but I'm in a good spot right now. Of course, It's been fun. We're doing it all for fun here because, after all, we missed this so bad last year. I don't even know what the bracket looks like on the other side. The one that I'm in with you, Nick, you're still beating me there. If I put effort into this, I would have actually probably been upset about that, but I'm not. I mean, look, you think I'm actually going to try to, you know, the folks that signed up for our little we're going to have some fun bracket, you think I'm actually trying to beat them? I want them all to feel good. I want them to feel like they, hey, I beat Paul Swan. Yes, you, please, you feel good about that. I didn't put any effort into it because I care.
You're actually beating me. If Baylor wins, then I probably win the thing.
Okay. So I'm beating you with no effort put into that. Man.
Spencer's beating both of us.
Spencer Dupuis. We have to clarify who he is because some people have blacked him out from their memory. We don't talk about that era of the show anymore. It's gone. That era of the show has passed. We are moving on. It's like Coach Swan taking over the women's team in soccer. We're moving on. We're changing the culture here at the program. We are moving on from that. You can't lose to that guy.
Yeah, I just thought that was noteworthy.
Yeah, you can't lose to that guy. You just don't do it. You can't lose to him. It's not pretty when you lose to that guy. Trust me. It's what he lives for. Don't you hate that? You have that one friend that lives for that. It's like, I beat you in the bracket. I beat you in fantasy sports. I beat you at Nintendo. I guess that's what he has at Nintendo. I don't know. We've digressed so far. We need to get the show back. See, Nick, every time you bring him up, the show just devolves. Stop that. It's Paul Swan and Nick Verzolini, okay? It's us. It's us right now, man. You and me until your internship's over. Nobody else.
I just noticed it. I thought it was relevant.
I wouldn't point that out, especially if you're losing to that guy. Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Trust me, I face off against him in fantasy hockey next week if he beats me because my team's pretty dinged up right now with COVID and everything else. He's going to do victory laps, man. He's going to put like a billboard out here in the corner of our office building just so people can see that. That's the kind of guy he is. So don't lose to him, whatever you do. Basketball action coming up tomorrow, 2:00, both Saturday and Sunday, 7:00 on Monday and Tuesday. And I can't wait to tune into some of these games because my guy Kevin Kugler calling the matchups on the radio side. I know on the TV side, Ian Eagle is calling Gonzaga and Creighton. Jim Nance has got Michigan, Florida State. Eagle's got Alabama, UCLA, and then Nance has got USC and Oregon. So that's what Sunday looks like. Saturday, Kevin Harlan, he's got the Loyola Chicago Oregon State match and the Arkansas Oral Roberts match. Brian Anderson has Baylor, Villanova, and Houston, Syracuse. I'm going to go with Kevin Harlan. That guy's amazing. He's one of my favorite play-by-play announcers. I love Ian Eagle. I think Eagle does a fantastic job. And I think Nance does, he's Jim Nance because, you know, this is the big boy play-by-play crew. Jim Nance, Bill Rafferty, Grant Hill, and Tracy Wolfson. You know, I mean, these are the four horsemen of CBS Sports. I don't know which one's Ric Flair. I don't know which one's Ole Anderson or Arn Anderson. I don't know. I'm gonna give Nance the Ric Flair role, but I'm gonna give Rafferty the Arn Anderson role here because he's pretty good on the mic. That's gonna do it for this edition. We will be back on Monday to do it all over again for our show producer, Nick Verzolini. I'm Paul Swan. Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of The Drive on ESPN 94.1 and AM 930.